This is another podcast from ABC Riverina. You're listening to Digital Living with Anne Delaney, Dr. Barney Dalgano, Peter Adams and Phil Roy. Good morning, lads.
Morning, Anne. Morning,
now, we're talking about cyberbullying today. It's a very broad subject. A lot of people know a bit about it. Pete, how are we going to start today?
Well, it's been headlines news in the newspapers over the last couple of weeks, and it just seems that every time you turn around, there's a different angle on it. But probably the most recent controversy, which has got the most airplay in the media, has been a school called Asham, a girls' school up in Sydney, that's ended up having two students leave, and quite young, like these are year nine students, because of accusations of cyberbullying and all the related sort of events around that. So we thought it's probably a good time to revisit. We have talked about it in the past, but sort of a good time to revisit the issue, and I suppose we should probably declare up front, in some ways, we don't think this is necessarily a technology issue. This is probably more a sociology issue. It's really, you know, bullying is bullying, whether
that's
it's done
technology
online or not.
Technology doesn't bully people. People bully people.
That's right. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. But we'll get onto that. That'll be another topic for another week.
Guns are different, Peter.
Your texting doesn't automatically go off by itself sometimes.
That's right. And Harley Davidson riders are good blokes, but we've got plenty of topics for the future.
So this has raised it again, probably this time because it has been at a very high-profile school, an exclusive private school, so it's really got the attention of people to show that it's out there all over the place. You can't really define where it might be. No one is more susceptible than anyone else. It's all out there.
Yeah, that's right. Look, the way I try and attack something like this, and I think it's common to a lot of different situations where we take a social scenario that happens in the real world, but now it's happening in a different way because of technology. I always think it's better to start by looking at the social situation in the way that it's normally occurred, and then say, well, okay, well, given that, how different is it with when technology becomes involved? And if you look at bullying, I think traditionally there's been two sorts of bullying. There's physical bullying and there's the sort of verbal psychological bullying. And, you know, often we tend to associate the physical bullying in schools more with boys, but sometimes with girls, and the verbal psychological more with girls, but, you know, sometimes with boys, I guess. So obviously it's difficult to do physical bullying in the online world, although Second Life and things like that might allow some of those things in the future.
Having your avatar beaten up by another avatar.
That's right.
Especially if your avatar's wearing really dodgy clothes.
And, you know, force feedback devices might allow you to feel the pain. But that's probably down the track.
Didn't we do the Sixth Sense a few weeks ago?
But the verbal psychological bullying, I guess, is the thing that's really enhanced or facilitated by technology. And I guess the way I see it, there's a few different ways that occurs in the real world. There's the reports or misreports of conversations, which could be, you know, so-and-so said something about you. You know, you say that to an individual, or you tell a group something that somebody said to you which wasn't really meant to be for the group's ears, or even publicly reporting, you know, information to a wide range of people. So there's that. There's the sort of one-on-one verbal bullying, which could be threats or sexual comments, derogatory comments, propositions, I guess, that side of things. And then I think the third angle is exclusions, excluding people from conversations or excluding people from events. And the way I see it, all three of those different types of verbal psychological bullying can be done very effectively using online technologies.
And probably to an extent where once upon a time where you would still have to do it to a degree face-to-face or in the real world, it now means that students that may not have been like that previously because it did take that extra level of gumption to step up and do it, now they can do it in their bedroom. Nobody else knows they're even doing it. So they've got that level of safety net that they feel more comfortable bullying than perhaps they would have before.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and I think that's a common problem in a range of different, I guess, problems that are caused through online communication, is that sort of secondhand nature. It's often, when you're looking at someone face-to-face and you're observing their body language and so on, it's much harder to insult them, I guess. But when you're fired up and you're in your own space, you can send the most horrific inflammatory emails that you would never, you know, never send. You would never, things you would never say face-to-face.
And I suppose there's also a part of this where, because you don't get some of those verbal cues back or those keys to indicate that your behaviour might be offending someone or offensive, then it might start off by people actually not knowing that they're being offensive or or displaying some bullying behaviour, and then it might sort of get out of control. So I suppose that's another issue where the technology might play in, is that, you know, you just don't get some of the feedback to say, oh, well, actually, what I put there probably isn't, you know, is a bit harmful. Maybe I should back off a bit.
And, of course, the problem is once you've put it there...
You can't take it back.
Yeah, you can't take it back. You might delete it off your profile, but, you know, somebody could have cut and pasted it. I mean, pretty much once it's there, it's going to be somewhere and someone's going to be able to find it.
Now, of course, largely the arenas we're talking about are mobile phones with texting, the social networking sites like the Facebooks and the MySpaces, emails, that kind of thing. So we know that these are the domains, the arenas that we're talking about.
Probably MSN messaging is probably the other one you'd add to that. Yeah.
Now, this... Most people think it's the domain of the teenagers, but there are the two groups in there. There's those being bullied and those bullying. So if you're a parent, little Jane or little Johnny is going to be spending a lot of time on the computer. We know that these days school demands that they still spend a lot of time on the computer. So what do you do if you find out your child is in one or other camp?
I think we've talked in the past about the household computer, and the best strategy and the most widely talked about strategy, and the one that I certainly agree with, is have the computer in the public area the same as the televisions. I know kids probably got televisions in their bedroom, but have the computer in a public area, so it just eliminates that one step of, you know, thinking, oh, well, you know, mum and dad are around or whatever. And, you know, there's even talk now, because of the prevalence of mobile phones, is do you let the kids have the mobile phone in their bedroom after a certain point in time, or are they all out, you know, where the keys are or whatever happens to be at night?
I mean, when we were kids, we were restricted to our privacy for phone calls by however long the phone cord was, and if you could even reach to shut the door.
Or if you could belt your brother or sister and they were in pain long enough, you could get the conversation out.
So it sounds simple, Phil.
Yeah, there's quite... Well, I don't think it is simple. I mean, bullying isn't... It isn't a simple topic at all. And, you know, to a large degree, the schools have a real challenge in managing these sorts of situations.
Because a lot of it happens outside of the school.
That's
right. It happens at home time. You could be preparing dinner, unbeknownst to you, your teenager's in there typing horrible things to another person.
Who'd want to be a school principal?
Well, like, that's right.
You know, at the end of the day, the schools get dragged into this. You can hardly blame the schools for it.
Yeah, I mean, to what degree are they responsible for the behaviours of their students outside of school hours and separate from school facilities, whereby though the school is the conduit or the mechanism whereby these students know each other and relate to each other, or kids relate to each other.
So it has really blurred that line of responsibility, because once upon a time you'd either get beaten up at the school or just as you were about to go home, where your books were thrown up into the tree. But once you got home, you were safely behind your fence at home. You know, it's sort of, you're untouchable once you're at home. But now that barrier has broken, and it's 24 hours.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of a list of different aspects of the cyberbullying that makes it more difficult, I guess, to deal with, and potentially worse than face-to-face bullying. I mean, if you go through the list, there's things like the fact that you can... When you're using SMS messaging to have a conversation, there's a record, so it's much easier, rather than just saying so-and-so said you were ugly, you can actually show them the message on the phone. Here's what they said about you. So it's a much richer way of reporting conversations.
And I suppose from that point of view, that record-keeping, the person who gets the message, if someone sits in front of you and calls you all names under the sun, once it's gone out into the air, it's gone. But I'm sure there are kids there who are at home reading and rereading and rereading and keeping themselves in these downward spirals because they can't let it go. They're just keeping it there all the time and referring back to it.
That's exactly right. And, of course, it's even worse if it's actually posted onto a social networking site like MySpace or Facebook, because all of a sudden... a much wider number of people can see it, potentially the whole world, depending on how you set it up. You know, you've also got issues like the fact that cameras are now ubiquitous, so that something that you do, which could be described to someone else previously, now you can actually photograph and show the photos. So again, it's a much richer way to report.
We've seen warnings just over the last few weeks about sexting, which is these sexually explicit images that teenagers are now sending to each other via mobile phone. I know a couple of people have been stung by that, because sending images to their then boy or girlfriend, only to break up, as you do when you're a teenager, and find out that these images are going goodness knows where.
It comes back to what we've said continuously. Once you've posted something or it's in electronic form, it's just, it is out there. You know, it's going to come back to bite you at some point in time. And the reality is, when you're a teenager, even in your 20s, you don't worry about these sorts of things. I mean, we're sort of sitting here with the wisdom of hindsight of 20 years later and feeling old about it, but you know, you can't put an old head on young shoulders. So it's really about having strategies, and like everything else with our kids, is just educating them. I mean, I'm not the fan of, you know, the prohibition thing. It just isn't going to work. You can turn the computer off at home and not let them have a mobile phone, but what are they going to do when they walk out the door? It doesn't solve the problem.
So what do we do? So we don't demonise the technology, because as we've mentioned, the technology is not the problem. It's the usage of it, how it's being used. So how do we fix the problem or give some solutions without demonising the technology? Because as you say, prohibition just doesn't work.
Well, and the reality is the technology is actually an important part of the solution. Like, social networking sites are a really important part of teenage kids reinforcing their real world relationships. And I mean, the same as we probably all used to do, you go home and what do? You ring up the people you spend all day with and have a chat to them on the phone. It's just the next level. So the technology itself can be a really important part of, you know, being the solution, making sure the kids feel connected with their social groups. But of course, as we keep going back and saying, once something gets posted in a public area that they find, and it doesn't have to be a big thing, that's the issue. It, you know, people find different things humiliating. I mean, the nudie run you might have done down the footy on the weekend was pretty funny until it pops up 6 months later with some video from someone's mobile phone that probably shows a bit more than you wanted to be shown to the world and gets sent out, and you know, it's going around the internet then.
I think there, Barney, you might be able to comment. I mean, there is plenty of advice around, Anne, to how to deal with this, you know, if you're the parent of a child being bullied, or in fact, if you're the child. So there's lots of programs helping to try and give kids the skills to try and deal with this sort of thing, as well as try and give them a framework all about bullying in general, and, you know, try and sort of help with behavioural type issues. But there's lots of things you can do. Things like, firstly, guarding your private information. So sort of trying to teach kids about, you know, what's appropriate information to give out and so on. And that might limit the extent to which bullying can occur and the instances where it could occur. Things like with regards to being aware of your child's use of technology. So those issues we mentioned in the past about, you know, having the computer in a public space at home, being aware of your child's behaviour, seeing whether they're changing, trying to sort of notice that bullying's actually going on and your child is behaving differently. Things like talking to them and being aware of what they're doing and who they're communicating with online. So again, that you can sort of, rather be an activity that the student or that your child undertakes completely separate from other things that occur around the house, if you're somewhat involved or knowledgeable with what you're doing, there's just, I suppose, a greater potential that you can help manage any situations that occur. And I think most schools would say that if it's a school-related thing, that the schools have policies, and certainly a story there. If this is coming sort of from a school basis,
absolutely, the
schools definitely
have
speak
spent
to your
years
school.
Developing lots
well,
of
well, it's interesting. I mean, Gerald Wirth, who's a lecturer in the School of Education at CSU, has done a fair bit of research on school strategies for reducing bullying. And I think what's coming out of his research is that the sort of whole school approach, which involves, you know, preempting, I guess, by teaching kids about the whole problems of bullying and actually working with everyone rather than reacting to a particular situation, really works. And I guess, you know, especially when you're talking about something like this where the problems may not be visible to the school until they're really, really serious, having something that's more preemptive and educative rather than reactive, I think, is bound to be the way to go.
Now, I know we've been talking a great deal about teenagers, but this sort of thing is not just the realm of teenagers. This is something that spreads across the community. Adults, workplaces, you can have the exactly the same circumstances you're talking about with students, whether it's exclusion, whether it's the gossiping texts, whether it's the flaming emails, things like that. You can have all of that still in the context of an adult realm, whether it's at the workplace or whatever. So this isn't just about teenagers.
Bullying. I mean, I'm sure it was only a couple of weeks ago on probably ABC Afternoons or something. I can't remember where I was in the car listening to it, and people were ringing up about workplace bullying. So it's an issue throughout life, but I guess like a lot of things, it's about teaching. If we can teach our kids strategies to deal with it, then they've got those strategies all through their life. And I guess the technology has just brought it into focus that, in fact, you know, things that have happened for eons can now potentially cause, you know, a lot more harm. What really interested me about the high-profile case, the Asham Sydney Girls School case, is that in some of the reports about that, one of the reports said that Asham was one of the first schools to take part in the $126 million federal government cyber safety program introduced in May last year.
Oops.
Now, nobody expects the government to throw millions of dollars at things and automatically solve it, but, you know, the reality is politically it's, you know, oh, we're throwing money at cyber safety and whatever, but it probably translates to a few more issues on the ground with, you know, schools having a specific program for the schools. I mean, there's, I know Phil's got some New South Wales government publications, which they're great publications, but the reality is creating a nice glossy brochure is one step away from solving. It's actually implementing some strategies on the ground with kids.
The problem is also this whole balance between, you know, allowing genuine educational uses of some of these online technologies and preventing the harm. And I was at a symposium in Sydney a couple of weeks ago just trying to feed into federal government policy about the use of online tools for learning. And, you know, on the one hand, you've got reactions to situations like this, which is to put, you know, more blocks in place so that kids can't access this, 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 this and this from school. And then on the other hand, you've got all of the people who are trying to, you know, be innovative educationally saying, hey, but I want to use blogs, I want to use wikis, I want to use social networking sites because I can, you know, I can motivate the kids, I can teach them new writing genres, I can do all this stuff with them if I can get access. And trying to balance those two competing interests is a real challenge.
Well, I suppose there's this level of guidance that as adults in the community we have to be giving children, and not necessarily our own, it could be because they're students of ours, they're young associates of ours, whatever, this guidance on appropriate behaviour in a technological world. And it's just some of the responsibility as an adult in the community we should be taking.
And it's an issue everywhere. There's a national magazine, which I don't know if we actually advertise on the ABC. It used to be published weekly, but now it's published monthly. If that points at, I mean, there's an article in that I noticed sitting around my household a couple of weeks ago, but it's actually got some good tips. But at the end, the thing which we probably should broadcast with this today is there's certainly plenty of places to go for information. So there's actually a site, would you believe, a National Centre Against Bullying, that's got a website, ncab.org.au. There's the Kids Helpline, of course. You quite often see advertisements for that, and that's kidshelpline.com.au, and they've also got a 1-800 number. And there's, of course, the Lifeline, which is 131114. So there's a lot of services that are already out there, and I'm sure if people didn't get any of those numbers or want information, they can contact the station and we can give them out to them.
And I'll put them up on the website.
And a couple more. There's a good website that deals with bullying generally called Bullying No Way. So www.bullyingnoway, which is one word, .com.au. And another guide, which is a bit broader than bullying, it's not bad actually, it's quite comprehensive about general technology. It's called a technology guide for parents called CLICK, and that's available from the New South Wales Department of Education website. It has a section on bullying, but it's much broader than that, but it seems like quite a good guide.
You've been listening to a podcast brought to you by ABC Local, and we have many more you may enjoy, such as Thank God It's Friday. Each week, Richard Glover and friends raise a smile with quirky commentary, comedy and entertainment. All available to download at abc.net.au/local/podcast.